of you would like to see Israel. Now, before you raise your hands, and I'm asking for hands, I'm not asking if you want to take a trip over. Some of you would say, well, I don't want to take the trip over, but I'm just asking a simple question. How many of you would like to see Israel? Okay, lots of people would raise. Okay, so those of you who would like to see Israel, then you need to scoot forward, okay? Because you need to see Israel up on the screen, okay? I'm not telling anybody, but I got to take a minute here to get set up. I'm going to put my computer up there and get ready. I'm just encouraging, if you love your back seat, go ahead and stay. But you're going to be able to see more the closer you are. So as I get set up, if you would like to move more forward, go ahead and do it. If not, then you can stay right where you're at. Yeah. And I'm also going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Mark. Mark chapter 11. We are going to, for the most part, kind of like this morning, we trace through. Is that something missing? I connected to it. While we're getting this connected up, we went through Matthew this morning, and we deviated just a little bit. We're going to be through Mark. I hit it a couple times, so I don't know. We're going to be going through Mark here and tracing some of the steps. And so we're going to go to Luke, I think, for one passage, but Mark does a really good job of going through the different locations where we're going to look at. And so, like Mark's perspective, concerning the tour that we were going to have. Now, as we're getting this going as well, I just want to say this. We took, Melissa, how many pictures were on your phone? About 1,500. I probably have a couple hundred on mine. I designated her as the picture taker. I designated myself as the listener because it's hard to do both. And I will tell you this, we had every intention to capture as much as we could on camera as we could, but I'm telling you, it's very difficult to do that and be able to listen and pay attention and to hear everything. And so, honestly, when I get back, yeah, we have a lot of pictures, but it is, even this afternoon as I rehearsed what I was going to go through, I felt very disappointed. I'm like, they're not going to be able to see what we saw. But the fact of the matter is you won't be able to see what we saw unless you are actually there. A picture is only the value of what a picture is. And so there's going to be some pictures that for me and for Melissa and for Heidi and then for some of you who might have been in that position already, it might make absolute sense. You're going to look at some of the pictures that make sense to us and you're going to be like, what's that? And so I'm going to do my very best. We got in on Wednesday night, jet lag times 100, and you know, didn't even know those girls, man, I tell you what, they didn't even know their names when we got in. And I'm not joking, they were a mess, but I was holding on to things, but jet lag has been pretty tough coming back. And of course, that was Wednesday night late, and then we had Thursday to kind of, you know, after you've been hit by a train, you're trying to wake up and smell the coffee a little bit. So we did that on Thursday. Friday was kind of jump right back into things and try to just get prepared. And then, of course, we had the banquet going on, Send the Light, on Saturday morning, and then the banquet. And so honestly, folks, I kind of apologize. I wish I could have done a better job of even getting this presentation tonight better, but I'll just tell you, it's the best I could do, okay? So it's the best I could do for tonight. I'm going to try my best to help you understand what the picture is and where we went, and the, again, tracing the passion of Jesus, Could be a little slow. Again, I'm going to do my best. I also want you to know this before we get started, that this is only a very small portion of what we saw in the 11 days, okay? Very small. So tonight, as we get done, it's not done. In fact, it's just a start. I wanted to do tonight, not wait, because it's Easter Sunday. I mean, I don't know a better time to go through the passion, you know, through the passion and tour that Jesus did than of course tonight. So that's why we're doing it tonight. That's why I did what I could to put the pictures together. So hopefully it will be a blessing to you. Okay. Already you can see why I had you move forward, because it's already difficult for me to see this. Okay. But here is, and let's also pray that the technology will work. Here in the center of the screen, of course, there's no borders, no outlines of anything like that, but I hope you understand a little bit of the borders of what Israel is. We spent a lot of time a couple years ago going through the nation of Israel and what it looked like, so I hope that that's familiar, certainly in the next month or so. Here's my plan. I plan in the next month, however long it takes, to spend on Sunday nights. We're going to continue on to 1 Corinthians, but I'm thinking what we'll do is we'll take maybe 15 minutes and just get another little part of the journey through. And we'll just keep going through our whole tour all the way around until we get done. So how long will that take? I don't know. At the end of that 15 minutes or so, then we'll jump right back into 1 Corinthians, because I don't want to stop everything for a month. At the same time, I want to keep going, because it's never going to be any more fresh to us than right now since we've been there. And so that's the plan for right now. We'll see how that works out. Now, along with my going through Scripture, I'm just going to ask a few guys in the front, if I go to a passage and say, okay, everybody look at Mark chapter 11 and verse 1, maybe even somebody could read that, maybe it'd just be better that I do it, I don't know, let me see how it goes, but we need to keep moving for sure, because we do have the Lord's table, and it's already like 21 after, and so we've got a lot to accomplish here. So here we have the nation of Israel. Let me get my pointer, and hopefully we can see that. Can you guys see that on the screen? Okay, you understand that Israel kind of is up in here, comes down, and extends all the way down to the bottom down here, and then comes up here, of course, with the exception of the Gaza Strip. I don't have tonight to go through a lot of what I'm going to go through, but you understand that there's a lot within here. There's a lot of area that's still Palestinian rule or control, and so there's a big portion, especially of the Samarian area, that we were not able to really see. There were many places that we could not go up into because you're not allowed in there. For example, the city of Jericho has a big red sign that says, basically, it doesn't say enter at your own risk. It basically says, if you're a Jew, you're going to be killed. So, of course, we had a Jewish tour guide, and entering that would have been a bad mistake. So we could not go into a number of those places that are still Palestinian rule, so we couldn't go in there, but we got to see a lot of ground while we were there. But that's a little bit more for the future. I really do want to trace Jesus' steps through. So what I would like to do now is I want to hone in a little bit more. We're just going to be talking about of course, you understand that Jerusalem are these mountains right in here. Well, the mountains of Jerusalem, and then Jerusalem itself, the city where we're talking about, is right here, okay? And, well, I could say a whole lot more, but we have too much, so we're just going to come right in here. Now, I have some key places that track us through this last time, okay? And we're going to get closer to some of these, but let me go through, trying to figure out how to most effectively do this. Let me point out some spots. Let me do this on the map. Let me go ahead and quickly try my best to walk you through the path that Jesus went. And then as we go back through maybe again, we're going to look at some pictures as we go through. Okay, so really quickly, try to follow this. Boy, I'm seeing that it's very difficult to see. I need to make those letters a whole lot bigger. I can see it on my screen, but you can't. But I'll go ahead and share this. Okay, Jesus spent a lot of time right here. Okay, this is Jerusalem actually comes a lot further. Let me outline the old city of Jerusalem, okay? All right, so this is the northeastern corner. All right, and then it comes straight down here. This is the Kidron Valley. This is the Mount of Olives. Okay? This area is the Mount of Olives. We have the Kidron Valley, which comes down here. And then we have, there's a small valley right in here called the Teropian Valley. And I'll explain more of that later. But we have the Valley of Kidron right here. And so the temple walls come down right here. Temple Mount right here, which is controlled by, but it is the Muslims have their holy place there, which is crazy, but coming down here, and then we have the wall is then going to come around here, and on the southern side, and we're going to make its way over here. Now this is the southern, this is the old city of Jerusalem. Understand that we're not talking about the Temple Mount corners. That would be like this. It's kind of like a rectangle there. This is the wall, okay, around Old City of Jerusalem. Coming down here, and then up this way, Herod's Gate here, and then over this way, and then up here, and back over to where we started. Okay, so let me outline that one more time. All right, does that make sense a little bit? That's the old city. By the way, the old city is divided up into four quarters. There is the Muslim quarter. There is the Christian quarter. There is the, what's the other quarter? Armenian quarter. And then this is the Jewish quarter, okay? So the city is divided up into four quadrants like that. We walked through a couple of the quadrants. We didn't get to see everything there, and I've got pictures for all this stuff. All right, but let's back up. Jesus comes all the way down from the Galilee area, and he comes and he makes his way towards the Jerusalem area, and he makes his way towards some of his best friends in Bethany. Remember, okay? So Jesus spends a lot of time in Bethany. What else happened in Bethany? Lazarus was raised from the dead. Okay, so Bethany. And a lot of times when Jesus is going to go into the city or into the temple, he is going to come up to some call it Bethpage, Bethphage, and he's going to come and then come around and then enter in this area, across the Kidron Valley and come into the temple just like this. And other times he may come and follow some of the topography and come in this direction, but mostly he was going to the temple, and so he's going to come up in a route kind of like this. All right, so Jesus is in Bethany there, and he's going to make his way. He's going to make his way. Do you remember? Of course, this is the Mount of Olives, right in here. This is the Mount of Olives, and so Jesus is going to come down through here. And we see the Mount of Olives, and you remember the Palm Sunday that was celebrated last week, okay? And we were able to walk those steps, and so that would start somewhere up in here. And we're going to get some pictures here. He'd make his way down through Gethsemane and come and then enter into the Lion's Gate, which is right here. He's going to make his way in through there. Well, actually, as far as he went that day, he would come in, and then he did go into the temple. And then you remember he went into the temple, and he went back to Bethany a couple times there. He did some things. So, in fact, we're going to look at some passages where he went to Bethany. He went into the temple, did some things, and then he would go out, go to Bethany. He would go back into the temple. So he did that a few times that last week, in and out of the temple. It's recorded in the book of Mark. And back in chapter 14, verse 3, we find ourselves back in Bethany. From there, remember, he had sent some of his disciples to go into the upper city and to find a place where they could have the Last Supper. Remember that, in the upper room? Okay, and so from here, he would have probably followed the topography and came. And right here, I know that you can't see it, and I apologize, I made the letters way too small. But right here we have the upper room and the Last Supper, okay? Now, understand, this is part of the upper city, And it's a distance. I can't remember, but it would have taken quite a ways for him to get over through here. And there would be ups and downs going to get to this upper room. But from here to here is definitely going up. You cannot see that, but it's going up. Okay, so it's not an easy little walk. He's kind of going down, and then he's going up, 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 down, 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 up, 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 and he's coming to the upper room. And so he makes his way to the upper room in chapter 14 and verse 12. From the upper room then, remember, he spends some time, and where does he go from the upper room? All right, he's in the upper room. He makes his way back to where? Okay, Gethsemane. So probably he would have went, again, follow the topography. I don't know if he would have went down here and up the valley, or if he would have went this way and followed the contour that way, but he would have been in the Garden of Gethsemane. We'll look at pictures here. Then, so we're just following the pathway. So Bethany to the temple, back to Bethany, to the temple, back to Bethany, to the upper room, over to Gethsemane. What happens in Gethsemane? Okay, Jesus is arrested there. Judas comes and gives him a kiss, and so he's in Gethsemane. And from there, does anybody know where he goes? Gethsemane, that's chapter 14 of verse 26. And from there, where does he go? Caiaphas' house, okay? Caiaphas' house was one of my favorite places. And that's right here, just a little ways away from the upper room, okay? So Caiaphas' house is right here. We'll show some pictures just a little bit. That's chapter 14 of verse 53. From there, and being tried in Caiaphas' house late into the, and actually early into the morning, then he is put into his dungeon for several hours. And then from Caiaphas' house, he goes to, and this is a, there's going to be some little, some discrepancy with different people. This is what I understand. This is what we believe, that from there he went to be tried by who? Anybody remember? Pontius Pilate, okay? Which, by the way, neat thing. Side note, Pontius Pilate was, according to a lot of people, just a mythical person that is never, and they've never been able to find evidence of him. But it wasn't too long ago they were able to find a stone there in Caesarea by the sea, they found a stone that had the name of Pontius Pilate. Wouldn't you know that even the historians try to disprove Jesus and his story, but they cannot do it, and they're finding more and more as we go. And so I have so much to tell you. But anyways, so probably what's going to happen from the upper, from Gethsemane over to Caiaphas' house, tried through the night, then early the next morning he's going to be led away. And he's going to come in, and he's probably, some have suggested he goes around this way, but others believe that he came right underneath the Temple Mount right here. By the way, what's this right here? I know it's little for you. Anybody knows what this area right there is? Yeah, the Western Wall, or the Wailing Wall, where all the Jews go and pray right here. And they go to that place because it's the closest place that they can get to of where the temple would have been. That's the closest place they can get. You say, why is that such a holy place where they pray? That is the very closest place that they can get to where the temple used to be. You say, Pastor, isn't that the temple? It is not the temple. That is a Muslim mosque, okay? And so the Muslims have control of that whole area up in there on the Temple Mount. Okay, they have that. So the closest place they can be is right in there. Again, I'll show you some pictures later, not this evening. But went to the, where was he heading? He was heading right here to the top corner. Again, when on Palm Sunday, Jesus was led here through the Lion's Gate, and right here on that on this road, I guess I should say, through the old city, is a place called the Antonia Fortress. Okay, and this was Antonia was there. And what happened was, this is a place where Pontius Pilate was there. This is where he went before him, and he met, and he would be on trial, presented to the people several times right here at Antonia's fortress. Got pictures of that, tremendous pictures, which are so exciting. So Jesus goes from Caiaphas' house up to the Antonia fortress. From here, does anybody know, he deviates in Mark, but in Luke it tells us he went somewhere else. Anybody remember? He goes before Herod, okay? This is Herod Antipas, not Herod the Great. Herod Antipas, his son, Herod Antipas, he's going to go here. And right here is Herod's gate, okay? And I think this is the, well, there's a gate here. This is the Jaffa gate, okay? This is the Jaffa gate. Here, but also Herod's Citadel is what I have here. Herod's Citadel. This is where Jesus would have went from Pontius Pilate over to Herod. Remember, he found out Herod was in the city for a while, and so he went before Herod. Herod's like, what have I to do with you? He sent him right back up to Pilate to be tried. Sends him back up to Pilate at Antonia Fortress, and right here, and this is where finally, crucify him. The Romans flog him and play their games, cast lots, do all kinds of stuff, and then they send him out. And then right somewhere, I know it's far away, but somewhere right in here, then we get to, if you've heard of the road called the Via Dolorosa, okay? Via Dolorosa. And that road is right in here. At there, he's going to start turning up this way, and he's going to follow the Via Dolorosa. And he's going to come outside of the city gates. He's going to leave the Damascus Gate, okay? He's going to leave the Damascus Gate out here. He's going to go just a little ways. And then right up here is Golgotha, the place of the skull. And that is where we believe that Jesus was crucified, and only probably only about 50 yards away from that is the Garden Tomb. And so that's where we believe that Jesus was killed. So did you follow that pathway? Okay, that's the pathway we believe. Now, let me intercede and say something here that no offense to Catholicism, but they would put his crucifixion somewhere in here. And of course, they had to do some things and rearrange some walls in order to make that, because remember, Jesus was crucified outside the city walls, not inside. So they did some amazing things making the walls different places. And by the way, I want to tell you, a lot of people believe in this. In fact, many of you might have a Scofield reference Bible. If you look in there, you're going to see, and I believe that Scofield did not use an accurate map on that, because he places the crucifixion and this place, what was the name of that church? The Church of, what is it? Yeah, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, okay? And so that some believe that as believers and Christians. I don't believe that at all, and I believe the place that is the Golgotha, the place of the skull, and we were there. And so just understand that, and some of your references you look online, some of them are going to put crucifixion of Jesus Christ inside the temple walls there. Of course, again, they had to rearrange some things. You'll see that in your Scofield Bible. Scofield Bible is a good Bible, but I disagree with that. Okay, so that's the pathway. But now let's look a little bit closer. We might reference this map a little bit more, try to keep it in your mind, but let's look at some pictures, okay? And so the first thing that I want to do is introduce you to our tour guide. This was Shimon, okay? I keep wanting to say Shalom, and I know that's not right, okay? Although Shimon said Shalom all the time. He always said Shalom. But this is our tour guide, and I'm asking you to pray for this guy, because he needs to be saved. You know, it's interesting, because he's a non-religious Jew that only does tours for Christian people. He won't do anything else. He won't, when I say Christian, I'm even talking about our type of Christian. He won't lead Catholic groups. He won't lead any other kind of group. He will only lead more what he calls evangelical Christians. He will only lead them. He's been doing it for 27 years, and he has plans to continue to do it, but he has not said very clearly, and he said he's a Jew, and he's not. He said, I'm not ready yet. We heard him say that. I heard him with my own ears, and so we need to pray that he gets saved, all right? So, Let's move on, though. Okay, so let's pick up, and again, you're in the book of Mark, so we'll be interactive here. Let's go to the Mount of Olives, and so, well, Bethany. I don't have pictures of Bethany, because we didn't go to Bethany, okay? So just understand where Bethany was. Can you picture where Bethany was? Okay, to the west, or the east, excuse me, and so we're not there. But as Jesus was in Bethany, we pick up in Mark chapter 11 and verse 1, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. Okay, so you understand that where that is? he was at Bethany, and he's going to send two of his disciples to go and here to get a colt. What's about ready to happen? He's going to have his triumphant entry, okay? And he's going to ride on a colt. This is where they're going to say Hosanna. And so you're going to see some of that there in chapter 11. And so we're going to take a look at some pictures here. And so this would be a picture from, You can't see the temple here, but this is on top. I believe we came in the Jaffa Gate, and we came in towards the Temple Mount, and we're kind of overlooking it. You just can't see the top of the, you can't see the dome, or the dome of the golden dome of the rock. However, we're actually high on the city right now. So we're looking to the east. We are looking, and this is the Mount of Olives, okay? Actually, this is the Mount of Olives, and it extends out this direction, maybe about this far, and it would come down here. So about this far is the Mount of Olives, okay? Looking on kind of a straight path across, not looking down, not looking up, but kind of straight across. This is the Mount of Olives. So down in here, the Kidron Valley is there. You just can't really see it, okay? Does that make sense? So we're looking across the Kidron Valley over to the Mount of Olives. There is another picture from the same spot that I was able to get the Mount of Olives back in the back. And here is, just looking across there, there is the Dome of the Rock, and again, the mosque that the Muslims worship from. Again, we're on top of the city here, on top of some buildings. We went up and we took some pictures there. Here's another picture, same thing. This would be another part of the Mount of Olives. And this right here is actually the southern wall. This would be the corner here on the western wall going up. And here is the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Have you heard of that in the news in the last couple days? Al-Aqsa Mosque. A-L-A-Q-S-E. Al-Aqsa Mosque. We left on Tuesday night. The Israeli military stormed this mosque that was right in there because of a planned uprising that the Muslims were planning. And by the way, that's the reason for all the missiles going in and out, is because they raided that area right there. Interesting enough, a few days before that, we had a service right here, right underneath that mosque. While we heard their prayers, it was the first day of Ramadan. Ramadan is a month-long celebration that the Muslims have, where they fast during the daylight hours. And then, of course, they can eat from 7 until whatever the next day, but until it gets, they do that for a whole month, okay? And so that's kind of what's going on there. We were there at a unique time because we have the crossing of Ramadan and Passover. Okay, I think Passover ends on Wednesday, the whole celebration Wednesday. And so we need to be praying through Wednesday and, of course, beyond that. But there's a lot of unrest right in here. But this whole uprising right here started right there. That's exactly what we're talking about right here. This is the southwestern corner of that temple that I showed, the Temple Mount that I showed you. Okay, that's why I showed you that picture. Let's move on. As fast as I'm going, we're going to be late. Sorry. Why did I want to show you this picture? Okay, this really is kind of looking, I don't want to get into it, but the city of David is this area right here, the older city of David, but this would be looking up the Kidron Valley, and this would be the whole view of the Mount of Olives. Okay, so the valley is kind of like here, and this is more of the old city, Jerusalem, of course, the temple, Al-Aqsa Mosque right there, okay? All right, keep going. There's just another. Now, this is from the top of the Mount of Mount Olives, looking down at the Temple Mount and the Dome of the Rock there. Can you picture what I hope that you're not totally lost in what I'm saying. I'm looking for nods, okay, to understand, okay? So this is now I'm standing on the Mount of Olives, looking towards the city of Jerusalem, okay? And, of course, you see the temple there. Most of what you see is not old city, but it's the new city, Jerusalem. There was a friend that I met, Camel. Honestly, what this guy was there just trying to make money, trying to get people to want to take pictures with him and his camel there. So I didn't get any pictures with the camel, but I got a picture of the camel. All right, here's still on the top of the Mount of Olives, looking down. You see all these tombs here? People pay in the area of $150,000 to get buried here, Jews do. And so this is obviously a holy place in their minds to get buried. But this is where they get buried. This would be on the Mount of Olives right here. looking down over the old city Jerusalem here, just tons and tons and tons of burial places here. Another picture, just another picture from a different angle of the, this would be the Eastern Wall, Jesus entering in one of these gates right in here. And it's kind of interesting right here, the Muslims have turned this whole area right in here into a cemetery, because the Jews are not allowed to walk through a cemetery because it makes them unclean to go into the temple. So their plan is that if the Jews have to walk through, they can't walk through that. And so it's kind of like their plan to destroy any possibilities of the Jews and Jesus Christ entering there. I've got news for them that is not going to stop Jesus Christ from going through there. As we go through, just there's another, I probably have too many pictures of the same thing there, another picture of the Temple Mount. Okay, now looking down from the Mount of Olives, and we're going to make our way down. You can see, we're on top here, but we're going to come down these trees right in here, and we're going to make our way into, this would be the area here, and the other side of the road here, there's the area, this would be considered Gethsemane, and the place of the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus would have spent his time praying, not only with the disciples, but also leaving his disciples a little ways and going, like we learned about this morning, and how he prayed, asking the Father to relieve him of the cup that was before him. And so we'll get some pictures as we make our way down there. Let's see. I think this would be a picture looking the other way. So the Mount of Olives, this is the Kidron Valley running like this. So I'm on the Mount of Olives going this way. This would be looking kind of towards the south and down the Kidron Valley. And this area, you can see the temple walls here. This area would be the old city of David right in here. And then the upper city, Caiaphas, a house, if you remember, is going to be up in this area. Okay, Caiaphas, and then also the upper room is up in this area. This is the old city of David, which on another night we'll look at, but just a perspective that I have here. Okay, looking down, same area. This is the area that I told you that Al-Aqsa Mosque is. This is where we had that devotional time of preaching right here. So you're right underneath that, but that's just a picture of the eastern, southern walls. Spending too much time, we've got to keep tracing. That was a panoramic view that kind of bent some things up. Am I going through the same pictures? I think maybe I am. No, let's see. We got to make our way. Okay, so we start making our way down the path that Jesus would have went. We're on an upper, and he comes, and you see this road, kind of, this wall? It's going to bend around the corner. Right down below here is the Garden of Gethsemane. So we're going to walk this way. We're going to walk down here. And by the way, this would have been the path most likely that Jesus would have went as he was being worshipped with Hosanna and the palm branches. Okay, so heading down that path on the way through the Mount of Olives. That's the way we are heading there. We get to this area. This was still a little bit above, but this is kind of the ground where the Garden of Gethsemane was. You can see the olive trees everywhere. And we're making our way down here. There's the trees that we're talking about making right here, the Garden of Gethsemane. Here is where we were at then in Gethsemane. And you can see the beauty of it. This is a place where Jesus would have brought his disciples to go and to pray and to ask for the Lord's to pass him of his will. We're down at the bottom now looking up at this gate, the gate beautiful. This is down at the bottom. We are now in the Kidron Valley, and so we've got the temple up, Temple Mount up this way. We've got the Mount of Olives. This is the Kidron Valley, going down right through here. This is just a spot, but that would be Absalom's burial place right there. So you remember Absalom, King David's son? That would be his tomb. That's right there. That's just a kind of a side note. All right, so Jesus is making his way from there. He goes into the temple. I'm not going to go into the temple yet because we have other places. The Temple Mount, of course, I don't have pictures of. But Palm Sunday, again, he goes back and forth. We're not going to follow that. But then let's go ahead and make our way. I think this is more of the Kidron Kidron Valley, looking straight down it from the north side to the south, okay? Kidron Valley. All right, that brings us, I think, to the end there. And that was the Lion's Gate that Jesus would have entered into. The Lion's Gate he would have entered into on the Hosanna on the Palm Sunday. Okay, so now we're going to go. So he's in the Mount of Olives. Next we're going to go. I already showed you, well, maybe just a couple more pictures. Kidron, I think I... there's the Kidron Valley, of course, the Gethsemane here. Let me give you, I think I took a little bit of a video here. I don't know if you'll be able to see this, just going from north to south, just at the edge of the Garden of Gethsemane here. Absalom's tomb, the city of David down below. All right. All right, to the upper rooms. We have the upper room. Look at chapter 14. So we skip a few chapters here. Go to chapter 14. I don't know. It's getting really hot in here. Dan, I don't know if you can change the temperature in here, but I'm sweating. I don't know if anybody else is hot. I'm really hot. Chapter 14. Let's look at chapter 14 in verse... He's back in Bethany in verse 3. Notice chapter 14, verse 3, and being in Bethany. Okay, there you have him back in Bethany. Then he goes to the upper room, okay, because, you know, they found the place, prepare the upper room. In verse 12, we see that the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sent forth them two of his disciples, said unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall ye meet a man bearing a pitcher of water, and follow him, okay? So let me go back just a little bit. So here we have Gethsemane, and he's going to come down, maybe follow the Kidron Valley, and somehow come up and make his way to the upper room, okay? So as we go to those, I'll tell you the upper room and the Last Supper, the place of it is very traditional, so there's really not a lot to see. I put a couple pictures in here just simply so that you can see what's there. Some old buildings. This has been close to where the upper room was. Very, very old arches. They can place what kind of an era and period that it was. As we go in to this, go through the gates, you can see a thing here. I didn't get the whole picture, but room of the Last Supper. This is very traditionally, we believe it's right in the right area, but don't know exactly the room, but this is where they celebrate anyways. Obviously, I don't know that the building would have looked like that back then, but this is traditionally where they say that the Last Supper was. And so just a couple pictures. You probably recognize that guy right there, Ben Linville. All right. So Ben and Stephanie were able to go on this trip with us, and we had a great time with Ben and Stephanie. All right, more pictures of this traditional spot where they say that the upper room was with the Last Supper. All right, from there, where does Jesus go? Upper room. Where does he take his disciples? Back to Gethsemane, okay? So we've already looked at pictures of that some. I'll give you a few more pictures. It was our privilege that we were able to go one of the mornings and spend our first, it was first thing in the morning, we were able to go have 45 minutes of our own personal devotions there in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's one of the most peaceful places that we were able to be at in all of Israel. And it was just a wonderful and beautiful place. Let me just roll some photos for you of this place, again, where we believe that Jesus was praying. Olive trees everywhere, that's pretty much what it is. Some shrubbery and some olive trees, a little bit of grass, but mostly olive trees. The old, big old olive trees. That are there. The group that we're with, 47 of us people, split up and found our own private place to pray. This is where I chose to pray. This was in the upper part because I wanted to be able to look down and see this place of the garden. This was the spot that I was able to sit. There's a stone right here. I was in the uppermost part of the garden, able to look down this way. I was in the far corner, northeastern side of the place, and I had a tremendous time meeting with the Lord that day, and so I truly appreciated that. I was praying right in front of this old, gnarly olive tree, still alive, still producing stuff, still producing fruit. More pictures, old things you can see there. No doubt that these are very old trees. There's a little bit of a video that's here just to see a little bit more of the of what we were able to experience that day. All right, so Jesus went with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. What happened there at this point in time? This is where Jesus then was betrayed. His Judas came and kissed him and led him on the way. So now, where did he go? Where did they take him? Caiaphas' house. Okay, so this is one of my favorite spots. I don't have the greatest pictures of Caiaphas' house, but let's see. So again, we're talking about Gethsemane. They're going to lead him to Caiaphas' house, which is right in this area, okay? And we were able to walk. Well, we walked from here to here. This is uphill. In fact, there was a lot of people that could hardly make it. Some people even had to get a taxi to come up here. You have no clue how much it is. If for a person that, you know, in shape or whatever, it wasn't that huge of a deal, but it was definitely a walk up. And so we walked all the way here. This was called the Dung Gate. We came out right in here, the Dung Gate, out of the city wall, and we walked up this road right here, made our way right around the road here to Caiaphas' house. let me give you some pictures of Caiaphas' house. Okay, so from the outside walking up, you can see the Dome of the Rock right there. And so we had walked around, and there it is. We walked up to Caiaphas' house, one of the biggest houses in the area at that time. It was just a huge, huge palace. That was there. There we see some old ruins of all of his house. Of course, you understand that the levels of everything. You got layers and layers and layers. In fact, Israel is a place of layers, and it's a place of rocks, by the way. People were having dreams of rocks each night because all we saw was rocks. But these rocks represents past civilizations that had been in here. And of course, this, we're looking down on the civilization. This would all have been Caiaphas' house. Didn't get a lot of these kind of pictures, but this would have been a pathway Jesus would have taken up into Caiaphas' house, and then afterwards probably brought out right in here where about I am at, and down the hill to be tried by Pontius Pilate. But this would be, so this picture would be up for me. I'm standing right here taking this picture. This picture would be right now in front of me. This is all of Caiaphas' house, all of this area. And it was pretty immense, and then down to my right then is the next picture where Jesus would have continued down that pathway to the main road, which would have led him to the Temple Mount to be tried at Antonia Fortress. All right, now this is one of those pictures that is sad for me because you can't really see anything, but they have what you're looking at here is. This is glass in front of me because they don't want anybody going in there. But what this is an area. It's an area that is probably not any bigger from me to the flag, and only as deep maybe as what, you know, maybe from here to the baptistry here. In fact, I'm probably too big in that area. Probably too big, but it's divided up into a couple quadrants, but this is all hewn out of stone. But this is a place, this is the place in this amount of area. This is the place that after Caiaphas was the high priest was just really riding Jesus. Jesus would have been taken in here, and he would have been staying the night there before he was led to Pontius Pilate. Very moving, very amazing. You see the old of course, the ropes aren't necessarily that old, but the places where they would have burrowed out in there to put the ropes and tie the prisoners up so that they would stay there. And of course, this is right under Caiaphas' house. This would no doubt be the place that our Lord was in the dungeon. More pictures of that very place. Again, we're talking about a small place. We know that Christ was in there. For that, more pictures of, there's a couple of the ropes that you saw. There were more ropes right back in this area. Again, we're talking about a very small area of where Jesus could have been for those nights, for that one night, probably just several hours, because Caiaphas, the high priest, had him into the wee hours of the morning. Then he was placed down in this dungeon. It would have been that early that next morning. that he would have been taken away. Also, what happened here, of course, is this is the place that Peter would have been looking at him in afar off, not down in the dungeon, but up in the regular floors of his home. This would have been the place that Peter, out in the courtyard, was there denying Christ three times, cock crowing on that last one. Again, another picture. The cave that we're in is only probably about this high. This is just a really small place, very small quarters that we're in there experiencing, excuse me, the place of our Lord. I think I have another little video about how Jesus then was led down these steps probably early the next morning on his way to Pontius Pilate. Out the gate and towards the temple. You can see the Dome of the Rock there. All right. So that was Caiaphas's house. 7 o'clock. Chapter 14 and verse 53, we have Caiaphas's house. Look at that, chapter 14, verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. Verse 54, Peter followed him afar off, okay, to the palace. And so you have that whole story right there. From there, we have, I've mentioned a few times, from there, we read in chapter 15 and verse 1, where does he head? He heads to Pontius Pilate, okay? And we believe but let's read verse 15. 1, and straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. Okay, so we have right here, we have Caiaphas' house. Probably would have come somewhere in this direction and entered into the old city there and followed the western wall right here. And we're going to come down and let me come in a little bit closer now. And so we have the Antonia Fortress, which is right here. It is not a fortress any longer. This is a school building, but this is the Antonia Fortress, which is the top northern or the south. Let's see, got my bearings straight. This is east, west, northwestern corner of the Temple Mount there with Antonia Fortress. This is where Jesus would have went before Pilate several times. There in and out, presenting himself to the people, crucify him, crucify him, going back in, I find no fault, crucify him, crucify him. Did that several times there, and we read that in chapter 15. In Luke chapter 27 and verse 7, we're not going to turn there, but this is the place. Luke has a different perspective. Here we see from the Antonia Fortress, he sends him over to Herod. And so that would be the distance then from the Antonia Fortress over to the Jaffa Gate, which is Herod's citadel right here. So Herod would have come when he visited Jerusalem. This is where he would have come. Herod went back and forth in different places. Herod was all over the place, but this is, he's there in town right now. So this is where he would have come. He didn't spend much time with Herod, but let's go, well, I guess for sake of time we won't look, but you can look on your own. Luke chapter 27, verse 7, we see him going in the next, just a few verses, I think, to verse maybe 13. He's with Herod. Herod sends him right back up to Antonia Fortress with Pontius Pilate again. And so this is this would be back to there, Luke chapter 20. Excuse me. Well, in Luke chapter 23, he sends him back to Pilate, so we won't look at that. Then in Mark chapter 15, from there, and I want to hone in just a little bit closer to this area so that you can see. Okay, so what's going to happen is they're finally going to say, crucify him. You have the whole story of Barabbas and how they're going to take him. At the end of this time, when they finally, Caesar, Pilate is like, okay, go for it. He's going to send him out the rest of the way on this road out to here. I wanted to show, in fact, let me see if I missed some important things here. Let me go back to my pictures of the Antonia Fortress. Oh, by the way, this would have been, this would have been, this is the corner of the palace, the Temple Mount right here. In fact, just on the other side of this is the Western Wall where they pray. Okay, so Jesus walked on this. This is the level where Jesus was at here on these stones. Jesus would have walked on his way to Pontius Pilate. He would have walked right through here. See all these stones? They're still there. Yeah, the destruction 70 AD when the temple desecrated or whatever and destroyed whatever. Those rocks are still there, piled up. Kind of amazing thought. But Jesus would have walked right through here. Another picture. The money changers were in these little spots right here. And of course, just part of the temple experience there. I'm not going to talk a lot about them right there. We'll have more pictures later concerning some of that. But making his way to Antonia Fortress here. This is kind of a picture of what that fortress would have looked like right here. This is looking over the temple, so the western wall all the way up, and this is where what it might have looked like back then with the Antonia Fortress, okay? This was, you asked me my highlights, this was probably a second highlight of mine. Third or whatever highlights, but this would have been actual ground level. We had to go underneath. This is underneath the Antonia Fortress to get to the level where Jesus would have been. But this is Roman. This is Roman road right here. Roman pathway. Roman stones. This is where Jesus would have been flogged and persecuted by the Roman soldiers. Okay. When you read the story of the Roman soldiers, we have this area right in here. These are Roman roads right in this area. I don't even know what this video is. I guess just looking around a little bit. Roman roads. The Romans would have been messing with down here with Jesus. They'd have been playing games with him, doing all that stuff, teasing him, mocking him, flogging him. This actually is a stone. It is down in that area. This is one of the Roman games that they played. It's inscribed there. I can't describe to you what the game was, but these are the Roman games that they were down there playing with Jesus. One of the stones that they played the games on are right in here. A little bit talking about the games there. You can read about, it says, games incised into the pavement, they remind us of Christ's suffering at the hands of the soldiers, Mark chapter 15. Again, more of the Roman stones that were down there at the time of Jesus. This is the judgment. This is a newer excavation that they have found. This is a judgment hall that they've came across where the prisoners would have been judged. No doubt Jesus probably would have been judged in this area. I'm not going to do that video for now. So anyways, that's Antonia Fortress. Underneath that big area, underneath, this is where Jesus would have been on the Roman level of things, okay? Taken then up to the people, this big area where the people would have been, crucify him, back down, flogged, whatever, back up to the top so the people could see him. That's the process Jesus went. Let's go to the Via Dolorosa that I told you about. Let me go back to the map. The Via Dolorosa. Okay, so he was Antonia Fortress is right here. He would have been down to the road and come out to a point right here. And then from here is the Dolorosa, okay? And this is a street, the Dolorosa Street, but this is the pathway then Jesus carrying his cross to Golgotha. Right through here to the Damascus Gate. And so this is a very famous place. Jesus, exit to Calvary, right there. As we're walking through here, as we're picturing Jesus carrying his own cross, this is what we could hear. Oh, you're not going to be able to hear it. No sound. It is really sad. I'm not sure why I can't do sound. Try one more time. Yeah, I don't know. It was really sad because that walkway there, you could hear blaring out the call to prayer from the Muslims right there. And so you're thinking about Jesus. You got the Muslim influence there, is booming loud, very tragic sound. This is part of the Dolorosa that we walked out in the streets. That of course now is just they're trying to sell as much as they can. It's a zoo in that place, but certainly an experience to walk down the city streets as Jesus walked out. All right, so we leave the Dolorosa and we get to the Damascus Gate, and this is the Damascus Gate as we leave the old city to go to Golgotha, kind of what it looked like there, the Damascus Gate. Outside of the Damascus Gate, so the gate that I just showed you was right on this level. The level that Jesus would have exited would have been this level. This is just the civilization that's been built on top of each other. And so when Jesus came out, he would have come out this gate right here, the Damascus Gate. This is outside of that gate, coming up the steps, getting ready to head to Golgotha. Past that. All right, we're getting closer. We've got Golgotha now. I don't have hardly any pictures because there's nothing to see. Does anybody know what is at the place of Jesus' crucifixion? Kind of amazing. One of our times we're going to look at the birthplace of Jesus Christ. It's one of the most devastating pictures that I could ever show you because it's all Catholic and it's all made up. It's one of the, in fact, I didn't enjoy being there because it was so Catholicized there, but it's so interesting. They put so much focus on the birth of Jesus Christ and hardly any focus on the death of Jesus Christ, because actually all we have at the death of Jesus Christ is a bus garage. That's what's there, is a bus garage. That's there. There's nothing else. There's not a thing else. There's a bunch of buses that are there. We could not look to look straight on the skull. Would have been from this angle. We had to look from the side, but this is not a big hill right here. By the way, this is the top of the mount. You look at elevation. This is the very top, okay? So Jesus went up. He went up the entire way. He was going up. This is the top of everything. Does anybody know? We call this Calvary. We call this Golgotha. Does anybody know what this mountain is called? Mount what? Go way, way, way back to a man that was called to sacrifice his only son, Mount Moriah. We believe the same place that Jesus sacrificed himself as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world was the same place that Abraham went to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Right here. I'll tell you another thing many people believe, and this is I can't be dogmatic on this, but we believe that the place of the crucifixion, the crosses, would not have been on top here, but right here, actually on the bottom, in front of the face of the skull. It's very interesting also, this is the Damascus Road leading up to Damascus. They put their prisoners here to crucify so that everybody going up the road would see them and so that they could mock them and make a spectacle of the ones that they crucified. That's what the Romans would do. And so we believe that Jesus and the two thieves right next to him would have been crucified somewhere right in here where the end of these buses are at. Again, it blows my mind that there are buses at this place. There's no glory in this at all. It's almost overlooked. So there's that. You have to imagine a little bit now the skull. This would have been one eye, and this would have been another eye, and the nose here. Things have changed a little bit with time, and things have kind of weathered away, but this would have been the place of the skull here. You've probably seen some pictures that don't have the buses in it, but very close to the wall is only I don't even know if it's not even a quarter of a mile outside the city gate where Golgotha is. In fact, let me go back to that. Let's see. We see it right here. This is the city gate. There's the buses right there. And there's Golgotha. So very close. So Jesus would have went out this gate, and would have somehow, whether he did this or that or whatever, they'd have went right there. Okay, so that's the pathway. Now from here, We go right here with these buses. Now, if that's the size of a bus, you see this is not very far. That's the size of a bus. To put it into perspective, this is how far the Garden Tomb is. So all we had to do was we had to look from here. This is where we were at, looking across. So we walked from here to here. And there's the Garden Tomb. Beautiful, quiet place. Christian owned. It's a blessing. Christians control it. They own it. They run it. We had a tremendous tour guide, our own separate tour guide for this part of the tour that came in. Tremendous gospel presentation. But this is the beautiful area of the Garden Tomb. There's a wine press right there, right next to it. We'll talk more about wine presses maybe a little bit later. Here's a little video. Just to see. Looking down. This is another layer that's been added at the top, but this would have been the top of the rock, and you can see how when they made the tomb, they made it very flat. Made it very flat and hewn it out of the rock. There's a good close, more of a close-up picture. What it was, this part of the wall kind of caved, and so they patched that up right in there. And this right here is a trough of the rock that it had been rolled in front so that the rock wouldn't go off course. It's just a trough that was there. Original. Picture. Maybe close-up picture of the trough that was there. I say original. They actually added a touch of it to it. There was a certain level of the trough, and they built it up a touch more because it was getting worn down, I think, was the story there. More of the trough. This was our guide for this little section of it, and he was describing what you were looking at was an entryway right here, and you're allowed to step into this area. This is the preparation area, and then where Jesus would have actually been buried would have been right here. And so there is the place where they believe that Jesus was buried for 3 days. Isn't it a blessing that you're not looking at anybody there, old bones? It's gone. It's empty. There we have it. There's the just a very small portion of our trip, but there's we have the pathway from starting in Bethany, back and forth, different places, trials, the empty tomb. We praise the Lord that He is risen. Anyway, that's just a small portion of our trip, but it was an important part of our trip, and it was a blessed thing to be able to be a part of, and you can see why it's just so exciting. I do have... One of the things that I was able to get is I got myself, for my desk back there, a little model of the garden tomb there. I got a stone that rolls right here. I'm gonna put this in the back when I go back there because you can actually lift up the top right here and look down inside of it to see kind of what it looks like. It is made scaled to size and everything like that. I think it's 1/50th or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's scaled down there, but it looks pretty... pretty neat perspective of what it looks like. And so if you can just picture the whole site of the hill there, just gives a good picture. I plan to put it on my desk to remember that special place if I don't break it. So All right, there's a part of that. I know that a picture is not able to be replicated. You know, our place was not able to be done, but we did our best to be able to try to give you as much as we possibly could to be able to see. So many, many more pictures. Obviously, if we have about 1,600-1,700 pictures, there's a whole lot more to look at. But those are a few pictures, a few videos that hopefully will help you to at least get a little bit of a picture of what took place the Passion Week. And so today we celebrate that, what happened there. And aren't you thankful that Jesus lives? Aren't you thankful that he lives? Well, one of those things that we looked over was the Lord's table. And so I'm going to ask you to just take a little bit of time. Maybe there's a lot of pictures and a lot of thoughts in your heart and mind right now. But let's be thankful. Let's take the moment right now as we have to celebrate the Lord's table to be very thankful for what Jesus did for us. Thanking the Lord that the tomb is empty. Thanking the Lord that he went to the cross. Thanking the Lord that he took our spot. Thanking the Lord, as we learned this morning, that he gave so that we can have victory. And so go ahead and take some time right now privately with the Lord. I'm going to ask the men to come up front, be ready to serve the Lord's table. And